Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Hey, today I've got Luke and Dash with me. And
Hello.
And I want to propose something to you. I want to talk about mobile phones today. So I live in the CBD and I do a lot of walking around the CBD. And the other day I was just thinking about, can I live without my mobile phone? And what got me thinking about this was I'm walking down the street and there's a man walking towards me and he's on his mobile phone. Now, this happens quite a lot. They're on their mobile phones. And I'm walking and I'm not on my phone and I'm thinking, is he going to walk into me? Do I need to move to the left? Is he going to look up? And I almost want to yell out, look up. And then, so I'm feeling this sort of panic as he's coming towards me because there's lots of people around us and I don't, you know, there's not a lot of space for me to step left or right. And then I start to feel anger because I'm thinking, why is it my responsibility, you know, to make sure we don't knock into each other? This should be a shared responsibility. And then, of course, I go into thoughts about, and I know we're not going to talk about addiction, but I just think, God, am I addicted to my phone like that? Do I have to have my phone, you know, 24/7 staring at it all the time? And so I wanted to have a conversation around that, about what does your mobile phone mean to you and how often do you use it? And like I can use my mobile phone to the point where my thumbs, even now when I'm pressing my thumb starts to hurt. And what do we do with our mobile phones? And how do we live without our mobile phones? Because, you know, as we talked off mic, my mobile phone is my PA basically. So, yeah, how do you feel about mobile phone usage? And is there any generational angle on this? Because I'm thinking there's not.
What I would say is I think there's two kind of aspects to that. One, in terms of the person being on their phone, generally speaking, that's like regarding, I guess, communication and like things like social media perhaps. But I think the other part of like, can you live without being on your phone as opposed to being addicted to it, I think comes from how integrated your phone is in other aspects of your life besides communication. So I know for me personally, almost everything that I do or important things that I need are connected to my phone, to the point where most of the time I don't need to take my wallet anywhere. I don't need to bring any documents with me when I go anywhere. And I was even thinking the other day when it was, you know, during the process of moving here to Tasmania, thinking about what I need to bring with me, I was doing kind of the opposite, where I know that in previous years when I've like gotten new cards, like credit cards or, you know, ID, I've taken pictures on my phone and that's been kind of like my backup in case I lose my wallet or I forget it. But it's now actually the opposite, where going to Tassie, I was like, should I physically write down a list of like my passwords? Should I like bring copies of things that are now on my phone because of how integrated it is to me personally? So I think that if hypothetically I were to lose my phone on the street, it wouldn't actually be an issue of like, oh, I'm so addicted to it that I, you know, not having stimuli is going to be an issue. It would be more like I've like lost all my like ID. I've lost my banking details. I've just lost everything in a sense. That makes sense. Do you guys feel that way?
Yep.
Yeah. And I think like just reflecting back to your experience in the CBD, I'm not coordinated enough to text and walk.
Mm.
And I think that's what we observe is people texting and walking or that kind of stuff. So I often am listening to a podcast while I'm walking. So I'm still using my phone. I'm either listening to music or I'm listening to a podcast. It's in my pocket or it's in my bag or I'm holding it, but I'm not looking at it. And I'm then observing everyone else. And I just think about my mobile I don't think we should call them mobile phones anymore. Like you just said, I think you said, oh, it's my personal assistant, but it's my music source. Like we used to, you know, thinking back to our childhood, we used to have a Walkman for our music or a MP3 player. And then we'd have our phone that could only send calls or receive calls and text messages, but they were two different devices. But now it's like you can listen to music, you can listen to podcasts, your banking is on there, Uber is on there. There's so many things that are on there that it's not just a phone anymore.
So if you looked at the percentage, because you can look at the percentage of usage of things on your phone.
Yeah.
My phone would be the lowest thing on there.
Yeah, I don't make calls or text that much. Yeah.
Like it would be, it wouldn't even be 1% that I've used. I mean, I'd be lucky if I make a phone call per day on that, yeah. on that phone, you know yeah. what I mean? It's just so much. It's a gaming center. It's an Instagram spot. It's a video center. It's my email. It's my banking. It's everything.
And, you know, I'm really annoyed because in Melbourne, our tram system doesn't let iPhones yet have the My Key Card yeah. to touch on.
Yeah.
And so we still have to carry a bloody physical My Key Card. But I think the Androids, you can
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another thing, that it's going to be your ticket, your transport ticket.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Because another story I've got about the mobile phones was I lived down a laneway to get my car in down a laneway. And so I pulled into my laneway driving down, and I always go very, very slow because my laneway has a lot of cafes and restaurants on it, so I've got to be very, very careful. And there was a man walking towards me, and he would be Gen X. So he's walking towards me, and he's on his mobile phone, and he's got his earphones in, and he's got his head down, and he's walking forward. And I thought, I'm going to stop my car. So I literally stopped my car. And then I'm like, do I toot the horn? Do I actually toot? Like, and I thought, I don't want to toot my horn. You know, do I toot my horn? He'll see me because he's quite a distance away. He'll see me. And there's people everywhere. Anyway, he keeps coming till he hits my car, right?
So
and
he walked into your car.
He walked into my car. Whoa. And I was actually stopped. Then he starts screaming at me, like yelling at me. But because there were so many people there, this woman who's on the side actually says to him, she was actually parked, mate. She was actually parked. You walked into her.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, and then he just huffs and goes around me. But like just so, so not in the moment, do you know what I mean? Like, and luckily I'm the sort of person that just thought, I'll just stop my car.
Yeah, because he would have sued you otherwise.
Oh, yeah, I had literally stopped. And, like, literally I'd been stopped for maybe a good minute because he was just coming. But I didn't want to toot my horn. I would toot my horn now because of that experience. But just so not in this world, just in, you're literally in that metaverse in a way, you know, as you're looking at your phone, yet you're on the street, you're not at home, you're walking the streets.
Mm.
I don't know. When I used to walk down the street, when, you know, if I was in the 80s, if I saw somebody talking to themselves in the street, I'd think they were insane. And everybody's talking to themselves in the street, but they're not.
To be fair, I actually always check to see, have they got AirPods on? Are they actually talking to someone?
Because they could be moving their hands around still quite animated.
Yeah.
They're actually talking to somebody. Just
yeah, it's really interesting. I've just got a question for you, Fiona, not as much regarding the guy running into your car, because I think that's a little less justifiable, but just in terms of that first example you gave of that person coming towards you, they yes. were on their phone, and yes. you know, the kind of anger that came out as a result of that. Just like thinking back to the idea that I do feel like we've kind of consolidated our lives onto our phones. Say that person wasn't texting someone, they weren't on social media, they were doing something else, you know, some other aspect of their life. Would that change your kind of anger towards it? Like, say hypothetically we sub it out and you can see they're coming towards you, but it's not there on their phone, they're like writing out something on a piece of paper, like they're writing out a thought that they're having, which someone might be doing on notes while they're walking. Would that change the way that you perceive that
scenario? I can tell a story about crashing into somebody, and this isn't mobile phones, but this is something which I think is that attitude change. So I'm with my sister who's 17 years younger than me, and she's young. We're in Perth in a place called Claremont. And I'm walking backwards, and she's about 7 or 8, and we're laughing and I'm teasing her. And I knock into somebody and I knock them down, and I turn around and I'm apologising profusely, and it's Rod Stewart, the singer. So I have just literally knocked him down as I'm walking backwards. He's with Rachel Hunter. That was his wife at the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any bodyguards. He gets up. He's fine. He's absolutely fine. I've just barely touched him. And then he's going, oh, it's absolutely fine. And then he spends a lot of time talking to my sister. He obviously is really good with kids and he's chatting away to her, and Rachel Hunter and I are having a little chat, and I'm really apologising, going, oh, I wouldn't care. It wouldn't matter whether it's Rod Stewart or anybody. I'd be still apologising, saying, I'm really sorry. And they're like, no, you were having some time with your child. They thought it was my child at the time. And then they just moved on. But I think if I was on my mobile phone and I walked into him, I might have got a mouthful.
But to throw another perspective into this, because this is what I would do, and I know I'm not good at multitasking, but if you, it is the whole look up, right? Mm. Be present, be conscious, be aware of what's going around you. If you are going to need to look down to write something, step to the side, get out of the crowd and stop walking. I think that's my issue, is that people are doing things on their phone. I don't care what you're doing, but you're not present to what is happening around you, and you can knock people over. And it's really interesting even watching like the Uber delivery people on their scooter bike, electric bikes, they're on their phone in crowds and they're not watching.
No.
And then you think about it in the car situation where people then start looking at their phones while they're driving, and I just am like, don't, you are moving, and in some cases moving with a vehicle or moving at a fast pace, and you could cause damage.
It's funny living in the CBD because it's so busy at the moment in Melbourne. Like,
because of the comedy festival.
Well, it's just so busy, and I almost feel like it's an experience, not only in anger, but also it elevates your cortisol stress levels, because you see people with their earphones in and they're looking at their phone and they can't hear the ticker-tock machine, you know, where it goes ticker-tick-tick-tick to cross the road.
The road,
or they hear it and think it's their crossing because they're not looking up, and they cross in front of trams or cars. Mm. And, like, the amount of times I've put my arm out to stop somebody or grabbed, I have grabbed people, or just gone, oh my God. Okay, they saw that person, because they're not looking. Like, it's scary sometimes to.
Yeah.
I would see that every day I'm on the street. I'm even just thinking last night, my husband and I were walking to the comedy festival. This guy, just like the lights had changed, all the cars are coming. And sometimes the cars, particularly in the area we live where all the streets are closed off, the drivers are pissed off. They're blaring their horns all the time because the traffic's really difficult to get through. And so when they get that green light, they literally put their foot down because they're like, oh, I've just got to get through these lights because I've already been here for 20 minutes. And so when you've got a pedestrian on their phone just suddenly walking across, you're like, oh, this is, they're going to hit them. Like,
yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's just, look, the other situation was a few weeks ago I lost my wallet and my purse, and I only realised when I dropped a friend at hospital and said, oh, have you got a Mikey card to get home with? And she said no, and I said, oh, let me get out mine. And then I realised, oh, I don't have my purse, and we'd been at the markets. But you would think that I would panic. I literally didn't. I had my phone.
Yeah.
Went straight into my phone, put a hold on every card that I had, rang the markets and just said, has my wallet turned up? Then also I had a little tracking device in my purse, which my phone could show me, yeah, it's still at the markets, you know, even though it hadn't been handed in yet,
yeah,
but it did get handed in. I just didn't panic because I had my phone. It's just like, oh, I've got my phone, I'll find that. And worst comes to worst, okay. I'll tell you the thing that upset me the most. This will tell you what weekend it was. I had literally just bought a lotto ticket for the 100 million that night, and I was thinking, what if that's the winning ticket? I'd lost it. What if that was the winning ticket? But I did get it back. But because I had my phone, I didn't panic.
So can I ask you both a question then? Are there things that you wouldn't do on your phone, like, because I know you've got your internet on the phone and you've got stuff. Are there things you won't do on your phone and you would log into a computer for, or would you do everything on your phone?
I would do everything on my phone, including booking holidays, planning things. I rarely use my computer. Probably the only thing I use my computer for is editing this podcast.
Luke?
I am probably the opposite, actually. I try and keep it so that when I'm using my phone, it really is only for communication. So when I'm doing things like writing, reading, watching even YouTube videos, I don't really watch anything on my phone I try and do it all on my computer just to have that separation a little bit more, which we're talking about instead of just having it all consolidated to one device. I feel like spreading it out at least like it makes me feel a little bit better about it.
The screen time.
Yeah.
How about you, Dash?
Well, I was just reflecting because there was a meme that went around about millennials going, oh, no, this is a phone task or a computer task. And I 100% do that. Like I have access to my emails on my phone. And if an email comes through where I'm like, oh, that is going to take a complicated response, I will make sure I log into my computer to respond to that. I can't do holiday bookings or anything like that. I'd never do it on my phone. I'd look it up, like I might do the research on my phone, but I wouldn't do the actual booking. Mm. And funny story, well, no, it wasn't funny. We were both outraged about this situation. Our bank account got frozen without us knowing. The bank just locked it down because I hadn't logged onto my banking on my on the computer for such a long time that I hadn't received a message that I needed to update some ID information, right? And because we'd used the app, and I only use the app to transfer money to friends, like when we've split bills or whatever, like everything else is automated really. And so I'm not actually logging into the internet banking on my computer that much. So Scott spent 2 hours on the phone waiting to get through to work out what the problem was. And then when he realized they had to speak to me, he was like, I'm not getting my wife to spend 2 hours on the phone with you. You have to call her. And then he had to text me to say, you're going to get a call from an unknown number. It's the bank. Answer it, because I screen unknown numbers. And so then I answered the phone and I was on the phone with them for 40 minutes to work it out. And we had to reset my passcode, right? But we did that on my computer, and then I tried to log into the app on my phone and the new passcode wouldn't work and they said I had to call back. So then I tried my old passcode and my old passcode still worked on my app. So now I have a different passcode for my app and a different passcode for the computer. And I was like, what the heck? Like, this is too complicated. This is too much. And I just feel like the mental load of trying to work this all out is too much. And so I feel like, yes, having everything on our phones is really helpful, but I feel like sometimes it needs to be, can I make the preference? I'm going to access everything through my app, so don't annoy me on internet banking. Or I'm going to access everything on internet banking and not on the app, so don't annoy me on the app. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, can we as a consumer choose? Because at the moment, I think they're like, no, you're meant to be doing it on all of the devices.
Just talking about that as well, would you leave home without your wallet?
Yes.
Yeah, so quite happily just take your mobile and go?
But that's only a recent thing because I only just realised how to pay for something. This is such a stupid thing. How to pay for something on my phone. Oh, even though my card has been on there forever.
You didn't know how to do it.
I didn't know I had to double click.
I went to get a coffee with a friend of mine. This was a while ago now, and this just like blew my mind. She goes, oh, I'll pay. And I went, all right. And then she tapped her watch onto it. I was like, what?
Yeah, Scott does that all the time. What? He always pays by his watch.
I've never seen that before. What are you doing? Like, oh, my God, I can tap my watch.
Yeah. Well, you do have to have a smart watch. It can't be any watch.
I know. No, but that was the first thing I'd seen. Like, we're living in the world of get smart, honestly. It's just like crazy.
I know.
Just crazy. But I think generationally there are some differences. Like my parents are both baby boomers. My mother would never, ever do banking on a phone, ever.
Yeah.
But she uses it to play Words with Friends, you know. She uses the iPad. The iPad's still big with my boomer parents. I haven't used my iPad in about 5 years. But, so Dash's got an iPad here. Yeah, would you use an iPad or just your phone?
Well, I bought the iPad in because I couldn't be bothered bringing my laptop.
Okay. Yeah. How about you, Luke?
In terms of using an iPad?
Yeah. Do you use one?
I use one for reading when I do read online. I think it is interesting seeing with the different generations, I guess like you could talk about how accessible technology is for different generations to begin with, but I also think it's interesting seeing that the way in which we're streamlining technology is for convenience. So even though it's kind of like I try and segment my different devices for different purposes, I technically can have everything on every one of those devices.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing how that convenience is embraced by certain groups, maybe based on the familiarity of technology, and others, the distrust of technology, and also just the rejection of convenience leads to those kind of more boundaries, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the other thing, though, there are icks. Like, so you really said, okay, the ick that you experienced was that that person wasn't looking up. The other ick that I experience with people and mobile phone usage, and this is for people who, to your point, Luke, are using it for communication. So they're on their phone, they're talking to someone, but they have it on speaker instead of having headphones in. And like particularly on public transport or in public spaces, I'm like, I don't want to hear that two-way conversation. But if they were talking to this person next to them, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I think about that a lot. I often think that when someone's on their mobile phone and I can hear their conversation, I think, why am I getting upset? Like, if the person was sitting next to them, I wouldn't be getting upset at all. But I think it's because it's the volume.
Yeah.
They talk louder. They talk a lot louder when they do that. I don't like it when they come on and they play their TikTok or their music at this huge
sound. Oh, I hate it when people do that.
I don't want to hear what you're listening to. Good on you for wanting to listen, but put it by your ear or something. I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, so I think segmenting some of the stuff is interesting, but I also think, are they using all of what they're meant to? Like, do they always use headphones? I don't think so.
Like in the city, again, I keep going back to the city. I see so many people on FaceTime in the city and they're walking along on FaceTime.
Showing people.
Yeah, and they're going, oh, look at this and this is where I am, and they're talking and they're walking and they've got it up. I wish I could do a visual. They've got it up right up by their eyes, you know, and they're walking and they've got their arm extended and they're sort of walking and talking, and it's like the person standing next to you having a conversation.
Yeah.
But they're actually on FaceTime as they're walking. It's really strange to see. I mean, these are all just things which are now, you know, changing and all that sort of stuff.
I got told off, though, for talking on the phone on a tram.
Did you really?
By an old man.
What did he say?
He said, stop talking on the phone.
What did you say? What, were you doing it, like, by your ear? Or
yeah,
were you...
I had my headphones in and I was talking on the phone. And I wasn't even talking that much. It was, like, in a meeting, so yeah. I was, like, only contributing...
When I had to,
yeah. And I would mute it so that the meeting people, yeah. And he was like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Why? Why? Like, did you challenge him at all?
He did it. He did it while he was exiting the tram, and he like tapped me quite hard on the shoulder and was like, shh, you shouldn't be doing that.
What?
Mm. I know. And I was like, felt like giving him the finger.
Get lost. Get lost, boomer, is that right?
Yeah, he was an older man and, you know, in a suit, and I was like, yeah, you're going somewhere corporate and something like that, and I'm making all these assumptions about you.
How
but
dare you be a modern woman? How
I
dare
know,
you?
But I was like, it was just weird, and he didn't tap all the other people on their phones off.
But isn't that something quite extraordinary? You're on a tram in a meeting.
Yeah, oh, I do that actually
it's
all the time.
Extraordinary that you can do that.
I'm on Zoom constantly on public transport.
Like... how fabulous is that, that you can do that? You know, that you can actually be on your phone and you're in a meeting. You're working, you know,
working.
And you're on the tram.
But this is because the working from home and coming in divide is annoying. And so sometimes I have an in-person meeting and then I have a Zoom meeting back to back. But then I have another in-person meeting at another location. And so that Zoom meeting has to be in a commuting time. And so then I have to do that while I'm traveling.
What we were talking about before about Dasha's experience on the tram, and even I thought it was really interesting that description you just gave, Fiona, of someone FaceTiming and extending their hand to the point where they're taking up space, but probably taking up the same amount of space that would be there if the person was present.
Correct.
And I think it's a really interesting reflection to make on etiquette generally, because when we are talking about like people generally in public using their phones, I think a lot of us look at that quite negatively and we make judgments about them. They're not present in the moment. They're going to we've actually talked about a few examples where that is probably the case.
Yeah.
But the idea of, yeah, they're not present in the moment, they're being disrespectful, they're impeding on my experience in a public space. But I think that that's also just part of, like, we don't really talk about, like, the digital and physical world interacting, but yeah, that's what it is. That's where we're engaging with both universes at once. And so I think there were really good reflections where it's like the etiquette actually isn't any different, really. If I'm on the phone on speaker with someone, if it's of a certain volume, it'd be the same if I was talking loudly with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's still irritating, though.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, etiquette's changed. Like, when I was in my late 20s, when mobile phones were first a very big thing, if you brought your mobile phone out onto the table or you took a call or you checked it, that would be extremely rude, like extremely rude. Now you can go out to lunch with someone, everyone's got their mobile phones up. And if
yeah,
they get a flash message that they've got to check something, like, or a couple of times, this was for me, I'm talking about a personal reflection, or if suddenly something, someone's calling and I go, oh, if it's important, answer it.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny how now it's accepted. That's okay, you know, because we're in community. Do you think that's true? I think it's true that there's a lot more acceptance of having your mobile phones there with you, even when you're with people.
I think it depends. I think it depends on context and who, and are they expecting things, or are they on a work time, or are they, you know, like, I would get a bit annoyed if I was having a meal with someone and they were constantly checking their phone, or they were Apple Watch because they were getting text messages through or that kind of stuff, but, or emails. I mean, I have sometimes prefaced a catch up with someone saying, oh, you know, one of our episodes about to drop, I've just got to check social media, or yep, I've just got to action this, or I've got to reshare this.
But people would understand that.
But people, but then I've, and then I put my phone down.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But even if I put my screen down, because my husband works with access technology, like, then my light will flash to tell me something's come through. I normally have to put it in my bag if I want to ignore it completely.
Can I ask a question, Fiona, for you then? So, you know, when I'm, again, this is talking about just general social etiquette now,
yeah,
right? Being rude or not being engaged with the person you're communicating with. I have friends where we will have lunch together and it will go for a couple hours, and there will be those minute or so little breaks in between conversation where we'll check our phone, we'll see if we've gotten an important notification or not. And that could be habitual, that could be just because of the way in which we live now. There is this pressure to be attending to multiple things at once. If that was, because let's just say that this is just normal behavior, we're not even talking now about, like, someone being rude. Thinking back to a time where that wasn't possible, would you say then that conversations were just flowing completely for two full hours, or were there, instead of those little social media breaks or whatever, message breaks, phone checks, there was, like, awkward silences, or there was, okay, I'm going to excuse myself for a little break or something like that?
No, with me, the conversation always flows no matter what, whether yeah, we have our phones up or phones down. It doesn't, it's not awkward for me in any way, either way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like thinking back to, so I got my first mobile phone, Luke, when I was in year 11 or 12, right? And so when I, so I guess it wasn't like we were having lots and lots of, like, long lunches and all of that kind of stuff. But when we were hanging out in friendship groups or whatever, I didn't feel like there were any awkward breaks or silences or anything like that. And so I think actually the way that we socially interact, maybe our attention spans aren't as strong as they used to be. And that we do need those moments of, like, I've just got a task switch.
Yeah.
Because that's just so much part of my normal routine now, that I task switch between my computer, my phone, my watching the TV, looking at the dog, doing this, doing that. And now to sustain conversation with people for hours isn't normal.
Yeah, interesting. Because I'm just curious as to, like, what, because as I get older, which I will continue to do, and more generations come under me, and there will be little isms, little ways that they communicate, little ways that they, you know, act in reality that will be a little bit foreign to me. I'm just curious as to when you would consider them a problem and when you would just consider them a difference.
But you know what? I wonder whether or not it's, is it a problem within generation? So are the rest of the people within that generation interacting in a similar way versus is it a problem across generations? And so I think there's always been an issue of a cross generations expectations and ways of kind of interacting, and like regardless of the social media or the phones or the technology or the digital, there's always been differences in how different generations communicate. It's whether or not it's within generation that there's discord on that, I think.
It's true.
In terms of some of the experiences we've discussed today, like the idea of someone coming at me and not like being like not being super present and potentially bumping into me, the idea of someone talking on speaker on their like on the tram, or you know, someone FaceTiming and extending their arm out, none of that actually bothers me in the slightest. Unless again they're breaching a level of like etiquette and respect that you could breach with people in public as well. And I actually find that the people that come down hardest on that type of behavior are people from previous generations.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, they are the ones where if I was to kind of roll my eyes, they would be the perpetrators of it, because their behaviors regarding technology aren't as maybe sophisticated as those of someone in my generation. And so I just find it really interesting seeing how a lot of people in previous generations engage in that behavior and potentially do it crudely, not because of anything besides the fact that they don't have the exposure to it that we do.
Mm.
And so as a result, they are the ones that are perpetrating this type of like semi antisocial behavior, but then they're the ones that come hardest, like down hardest on it when they see someone in my generation walking down the street with their head down on their phone.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's kind of interesting because I think the analogy is the Gen Zs and the generations coming after you have grown up, if you were to think about, you know, technology, digital stuff, they have grown up practicing the sword work with that and the footwork with that and the power of that. They've grown up with that right from the time they were little. Whereas in the older generations are picking it up and being like, oh, it's heavy. Oh, it's like, oh, how do I wield this in public spaces? And so that's why they're clumsier with it. And they're not as practiced because they'll then have probably days where they don't do it. And then they go on the weekend and they're going to the comedy festival and they've got a QR code on their phone and they're trying to work out the app to on maps, and they're trying to navigate the tram network and they're like, hang on, where's my QR code and where's, how do I do this and all of that kind of stuff simultaneously. They're just not used to it.
The other thing about mobile phones is in talking about judgment of people. So you know how sometimes you send messages or you make phone calls to friends and they don't pick up the phone or they don't respond to a message for a long time? You know, what's a long time not responding to a message? That's another
whole conversation,
right?
Yeah. 3 months. No.
so, and then I'll meet them. I'll be spending a day with them. And I see that they look at their mobile phone all freaking day long. So I know they must know that I called or sent that message. And they're ignoring it. You know what I mean? And I just think to myself, so I think when I make a call or something, I think, I know they know I would have called in the last hour. I know they do because I saw them all day looking at their phone.
But so I will have to admit, so guilty, right?
Oh, so, so guilty.
So guilty. If I get a text message and I'm in the middle of doing something else, yeah. I might read that text message.
But you don't respond.
Yeah. I don't respond. Yeah. Then I completely forget about it. Completely forget about it. And then it's like a couple of days later when I'm like scrolling through to say, did I confirm my hair appointment? Then I go, oh, crap, I didn't respond to that text message.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, oh, sorry, yeah, whatever.
And sometimes you think you did and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you thought about the response.
Yeah.
You just didn't write it.
Yeah, 100%. And so that's the same with phone calls that come through. If I'm busy doing something else, I wouldn't have engaged with it, and then it's just out of my mind.
So yeah, I went into my mobile phone and took off the thing that says that the message has been read. So it just says delivered and it doesn't say read. So because I don't want people to know that I've read it yet. So if you notice, if you look at messages, it'll never say read under my name ever.
But on WhatsApp, it will give me a blue tick.
Yeah, yeah. WhatsApp, I can't do that. But on messages,
unfortunately.
I can.
But Luke, what's your experience with that?
I was just going to say, I think part of that is, and maybe we touched on this in flake culture, but again, in terms of communication etiquette, I think that the purpose of communicating via technology is a little bit more broad than just like immediate contact. And so for some people, you will use it for that, which is, I guess, why phone calls exist, so you can have that immediate one-to-one. But things like texting, I kind of view them a little bit more as like you're reaching out over a long distance to send. It's almost like sending a letter. Like it doesn't have to be something that's responded to immediately.
Well, that's true. Think of it like a postcard.
But I often think about it, right, because then, you know, my work days might be a bit insane. And so then I'm like, oh, I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to shoot off all these texts, like particularly to both of you. Like I'll be like, I've got 5 minutes. I'm like thinking for 2 minutes about the podcast. I'm going to shoot off all of these like messages about it. But then I'm very conscious that you both might be working and not in a space to respond to it. But it was my downtime enough to send it.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't expect a response straight away from you because I just don't know what your schedules are like.
But sometimes there's things in your head that have to come out.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, while I'm thinking about it, I just need to like get this out, ask the question, confirm a few different things, and then you'll reply hopefully once you've got
it. Yeah, and what I love about you too, when we do correspond, it's not just one text, it's like five.
Oh, sorry, yes. I'm really bad at doing that.
Because I do it and then I go, oh, and I want to say this, oh, and I want to say this, oh. I actually prefer it like that, these little screen grabs just going this and this. It's just the next thought, the next thought, the next thought.
And it's a conceptual thought because then I often think.
It looks better. This is now
it's like a whole conversation on texting etiquette, right? Because sometimes I segment it so that you can then, if you wanted to, you know how you can swipe and the reply comes under that concept.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you can reply to that part of the conversation and maybe you don't know the answer to the next part of the conversation.
So I'm segmented. I just want to preface it in that I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so
but
do I.
It might be annoying when your phone is dinging, 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 dinging because you've got five messages from me.
Last night, I was sending a screenshot from another message that I was having on WhatsApp to a friend. And we were just having a conversation because one of my friends had said something funny. So I was taking a screenshot and sending it to another friend. And he was like to me, oh, 20 messages, popular guy. And I looked up and in the top left corner, it said like I had 20 notifications. And I was like, oh no, it's just one chat. Don't worry.
It's from Dash. Hilarious.
But the one thing I do, maybe we'll finish up on it, is that what I love about the mobile phone is the ability for me to communicate in a group concept with people like my family, my sisters, like we have WhatsApp groups for family, WhatsApp group for my sisters, WhatsApp group for us in this podcast, where we can quickly disseminate information and we can share things. And I love that. Like I don't have to make multiple phone calls to tell the same story.
Yes.
I can just put one story in and press or just send a photo. This is my story. This is what I ate last night. You know, press.
Oh, my God.
I love
but
that.
Can I just say sometimes I have – sent a photo or sent a screen grab from something or sent, but then gotten distracted and forgotten to give the context of why I sent that to the group. And so then my friend will be like, what do you want me to do with this? So that I think.
I love that too, because that's a conversation still.
And I have like sometimes the experience with friends where I'll send the screenshot first and for some reason that day, they've decided to look at it instantly.
Yeah.
And so they've seen it without the context and I'm like doing a mad scramble to quickly explain to them why I sent that.
It's mad. It's mad. But I do think, you know, I reckon we should rename the mobile phone something else because I don't think it is just a phone anymore.
No, I agree. I think it's less a phone and more something else.
Yeah.
There's something else there.
So that's my challenge to Apple and Android and all those companies.
Yeah.
What is this product, actually?
It's your personal, I don't know. I can't even call it a computer. I don't know what it is. But it's my PA. It's literally what it is.
Mm. I think it's even more than that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway.
I think it's just a digital extension of me.
Yeah. True.
Digital me.
Digital me.
Meet Luke Jr. Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.